It is a great pleasure to welcome to European Investing Summit 2022 returning MOI Global instructor Santiago Domingo, an investment analyst at Magallanes Value Investors. The firm is an independent equity-only asset management firm following a value investment philosophy and controlled by its founders. The aim is to preserve and increase clients' capital by outperforming the market in the long term. Prior to Magallanes, Santiago worked as an equity portfolio manager for Solventis Asset Management, as an analyst for a startup called Oral Surgery Tube, and in Endesa's finance department. He holds a bachelor's degree in finance and accounting from University of Zaragoza and a master's degree in institutions and financial markets from CUNEF. I've greatly enjoyed your presentations in the past, Santiago. You do in-depth work, and so your theses are always well thought out, and I very much look forward to the presentation today as well. I'd like to turn it to you now. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, John, and thank you, the MOI Global community, for inviting us another year. It's always a pleasure to be here, even in this complicated year, but we hope it will unfold better in the future. So, as John mentioned before, here in Magallanes Value Investors, we are an equity long-only asset management company founded in December 2014. We are independent. That for us probably is one of the most important key things in any asset management, because we are able to take the decisions we think are the better for the interests of our participants, and obviously our interest, because we are invested in our funds. This is the third point. We co-invest in our funds. More than 20% of the AUMs are internally owned. We have a family business culture in the asset management portfolio, in our investors as well. We try to feel pretty close all the investors that we have, as we like to feel pretty close all the companies that we have. Currently, we hold around 1.9 billion euros in assets under management. And as we mentioned in several occasions, we are focused in one thing, because it's what we know we do well, as we demonstrated in the past and will try to demonstrate in the future, that is European equity with a value investing philosophy, distributed in three vehicles. The most important one, the European equity strategy. The second one would be Iberian equity, where we find many opportunities and probably has been left apart. In fact, the last year idea was from this fund, Iberpapel, that it's in Iberian fund, and also in the microcaps fund, that is the smallest one, where we have a closed fund at 100 million euros right now is open, because it's below that figure, and where we try to put all those ideas that would be impossible to have in our biggest fund, the European Equity Fund, but that we find very compelling looking at the future. So our motto and the thing that we always have in our mind is to preserve and increase capital in the long run. And in that order, first, preserve. Second, increase the capital. So let's jump into the idea we'd like to present today. This is Stabilus. Stabilus is a company that we own for several months, but that we have followed for several years. Stabilus is focused in one thing. As we are focused in European equities, they are focused on gas springs and Powerise. So Stabilus is a manufacturer of gas springs and other similar things like hydraulic dampers and electromechanical systems like Powerise that automatically open or close the car tailgate. They have around 20 plants with more than 6,000 employees. They have two segments, automotive and industrial. Automotive is around 62% of their revenues. Industrial is around 38% of their revenues. as we will see later, they are the absolute leaders. And when I say absolute is absolute, we will deepen a bit more in the next slides. They have a very strong balance sheet, below 1x net debt EBITDA, and this has been something usual in them over the last years. And for us, this is key because they are, in some sense, a cyclical company because they are in the automotive and industrial segment. But as we will see later, with some secular trends that allow them to be a cash machine. But even in that scenario, you must have a strong cash position, a strong balance sheet. So they are very, very good in that. And last but not least is that they have an aligned management team. Stabilus doesn't have any powerful shareholders. They don't have a family behind them because, as we probably talk later, they came from the hands of one private equity to another one from 2000 to 2015. So right now, their main shareholder have 10%, and it's an institution. So it's important to have this aligned management. In fact, the CEO that came in 2019, just in the last, I think, 6 months, he has bought around more than 1 million euro in 1 million euro in shares. That for a company that is valued around 1,000 million, €1 billion. Sorry, it's so much. So we have, once we have an idea of the basics of Stabilus, let's deepen a bit more. The first thing that I would say is that this is a company that works in the region for the region. That's very important. They are local producers. So they buy components from near suppliers in local currency. This approach has allowed them to navigate better in the current waters that, as you know, supply chain issues, all these logistical problems. So they have been able to navigate better than others. In fact, thanks to this approach, they have enough capacity to deal with more than 90 million car production. Right now, as you know, it's around 77 million car or light vehicle production all over the world. So they have enough capacity to deal with more cars. And as we will see later, this capacity is relatively flexible. I mean, they can move from producing gas springs for cars to industrial. And in these facilities, they produce or they manufacture two main kind of products. The first one would be gas springs that make use of compressed gas to achieve the required force for opening, closing, tilting, or damping flaps. One important thing is that their pressure is up to 30 bars. This compares with tires, where the pressure is 2 bars, more or less. And just to have in your mind, you can run these gas springs up to 10 years without inflating them. You can think about your tires that you must inflate them, and I don't know, one, twice per year. The average selling price is so low, it's €3 per unit. So as you can imagine, this is a low-cost critic product. This is not as commoditized as it seems, because in any car you must see the length, you must see the pressure, so it's some customized. But even in that scenario, Stabilus is able to do a little bit standardized, and the quality is key, because any failure in this product has fatal consequences. And one thing that I would like to highlight is this product, were highlighted with the arrival of Volkswagen Golf many years ago, specifically the sedan model, when gas springs spread across the auto industry. The second product, and we would say it's an evolution of the gas spring, or even could be the gas spring of 21st century, the current century. This Powerize is an electromechanical spindle that drives and raises and lower tailgates mainly right now in millions of SUVs and some passenger cars, and do it in remote control. I mean, you just have to press one button in order to open, in order to close. You don't have to do any kind of manual force. It's all automatic. And obviously this has a higher price. This is 30 to 40 euros per unit, but as a whole, in a car, I don't know, of 40,000 euros is not so much. In this case, comfort is the name of the game. And as we are seeing in many cars, the differentiating features are comfort one, are in the inside. So this is very, very good for Stabilus. And we don't see a cannibalization, but a substitution effect, because they have different prices, gas springs versus Powerise. And we must remind that many cars in the world even don't have a gas spring. So the room for growth is very, very important. So many of these products people normally associate to car, and that's okay, that's true, but it has many more applications. And as we see here, you can use in furniture, you can use also in medical, rehabilitation, machine construction. So we see, or we begin to see in this stage of the presentation, that this company is not only an auto part company, they are also an industrial company. So let's jump to the market structure. In the third slide or fourth slide, I highlight that they are absolute leaders. And you can see here, on the top end, we see the gas springs market structure. In the automotive, their market share is huge. They have 70% market share globally. We could take, or we could talk about 95% market share in North America and in Europe. 9.95, that's huge. Any auto part has such an important market share. And the other competitors, DEFTA, ERA, SUSPA, and others, are more regional companies. In the industrial side, this is a bit more fragmented. So they have around 25% market share, and the other companies are many small, and they are trying to consolidate that part. On the low part of the slide, we could take a look to the Powerise market share. Here, Stabilus is again the leader, along with Brose, with 30% market share. As we see here again, most of the competitors, mainly in the other competitors' side, is they are mainly regional. So the competence with them is regional. So all in all, we find Stabilus the absolute market leader, and we could think about this and say, okay, they are not doing anything special, at least at first sight. So what are the competitive advantage of Stabilus, and how reliant or how stable are these modes for Stabilus? And here we think about the competitive advantage of Stabilus. So why most of the car makers and industrials choose Stabilus? Here I would like to mention, for instance, that Stabilus is present in the auto part from a Dacia car to a Ferrari. The last Ferrari Puro Sangue, it's some of their Powerise, or most of their Powerise, are from Stabilus. So here you find that Stabilus is able to adapt to any kind of client. So this makes Stabilus a high quality supplier to the automotive industry, with best in class margins, we will see later, and a strong cash generation. As well, the trend towards SUVs, whose larger tailgates often come with Powerise systems, and rising demand for comfort features, makes the penetration of Powerise to grow. And this is very important, because as we saw before, the price is higher. It's true that the profitability is similar between Powerise and gas springs in automotive, but the price is higher. This nice profitability is a result of market leadership, technology investment, and highly automated gas springs production because they even design their own production lines. And this is a competitive advantage of Stabilus. They don't share this recipe with their competitors. They have their own their own production line design in-house. And this allows Stabilus to have a competitive edge in terms of cost, quality, flexibility, because as I mentioned before, in the gas springs, these plants or these facilities are highly flexible. You can change from producing a gas spring for automotive to produce gas springs for industrial customers. So here I would like to highlight, and I think this is the main competitive advantage, that they have a fully automated process. In order to compete, to establish, if you, John, and me want to build a new company in order to compete with Stabilus, the first thing that we would like to do is to design the lines, the production lines. This would cost us around 50 to 60 million euros, and takes 4-5 year times. And afterwards, we have to invest and to build all these production lines. And this would be around 10 million euros, more or less, per 10 million units produced each year. So it's not an easy process. And as I mentioned before, this is a critical product. And it costs from 3 euros, if it's a gas spring, to 30, 40 euros. So you are not going to change in order to save, I don't know, 1 euro 30 cents. I mean, it's not. It doesn't make sense. There are many other products where you can save much more money. So now it's time to break the company down. And here we are going to talk about these two segments, that it's automotive and industrial. They are very related, but I would like to break down, because many times when I talk about Stabilus with other colleagues or with some brokers, they see Stabilus as a high quality auto supplier, but they are much more than that. It's true, the automotive segment weighs around 62% of sales, one half gas springs, one half powerized. They have, as I mentioned, enough capacity to recover or to take advantage of this growth in vehicles, because as you know, the light vehicle production made a peak, I think in 2017, more or less 95 million units produced. Right now, we are around 77 million units. So you have around 15, 20 million in order to recover that peak, and they have enough capacity to do it. Here you have a very nice EBIT margin around this 10%, more or less. That's very good in the auto segment, even more in the auto supplier. They produce around 3,000 different kind of stock keeping units. And it's true that it's not easy. It's hard to deal pricing with OEMs, and this is been a bit harder in the current scenario. Even with the current situation, they are doing very well. They didn't present it, at least from now, any profit warning, because they have some secular trends like SUVs, like powerized, like automatization, like industrial, that we will deepen a bit more later, that are allowing them to leverage their position and to deal more or less with the current situation. On the other side, we can talk about the industrial segment, that is 38% of their sales. EBIT margin is huge, more than 20% EBIT margin. You have many clients, they are very customized products, so you can charge better prices and to get better or nicer profitability. You have much more different units, more than 26,000. And it's relatively easy to pass cost increases, because it's like a price list you say to your industrial customer, and usually you don't have any kind of problem. So first, let's depend on the first side. Let's depend on the automotive segment. Here, obviously, the global light vehicle production is the main driver for Stabilus. But what I would like to highlight in this slide, and you can see, is that Stabilus always outperforms the market. I mean, always, it is in the last 7-8 years. And why this happens? Why when the market, the global light vehicle production has in the last 7 years has gone down minus 2%, Stabilus has been able to grow more than 4%. First, because they are gaining new customers, for instance, Tesla. Second, because they are gaining market share. They are the leaders and they are able to increase their market share. Third, because they offer new solutions as Powerise. And fourth, and I think it would be the most important one, it's because you have more content per vehicle. As I mentioned before, comfort is the name of the game. So you need to have more gas springs, more Powerise in order to make your car more comfortable. And you have even more growth drivers that I mentioned in this slide, and I try to deepen a bit more in the next one. The first one I mentioned before is the growth of the light vehicle production that is expected to grow from 2021 to 2024. Second one, you are gaining new customers, and some of them are the Chinese OEMs that step by step are requiring to establish to be more present in China. In fact, they built a plant, the Pinghu plant. They opened in July 2021, and they are almost full. It's true that this plant is mainly for Powerise, that is the premium product, but they are full. And this is the third plant that they have in Powerise, along with another in Romania, I think, and another in Mexico. The third point, and I mentioned that it's very important, is the content per vehicle. Just to have an idea in your mind, a Dacia, for instance, normally has around two units of gas springs, but BMW Series 7 have more than 10 units. So you can make a think about how important is the premium cars, but also the comfort in the mass market cars. And for instance, a Tesla Model X has 9 Powerise, 34 euros, multiplied by 9, you have almost 400 euros. Because you have not only in the tailgates, you have also in the doors and many other places. And as I mentioned before, even in the Ferrari Purosangue, you have Stabilus. So SUVs means more gas springs and more Powerise. So the penetration of Powerise should continue to grow. And even more because this penetration is relatively low. For instance, if we take a look to the latest figures that I have in my mind that are from 2018 in Germany, only 26% of all vehicles were fitted with electric tailgate systems or Powerise in Germany. So the growth for Powerise is huge. And even, as I mentioned before, in China or in Asia, the penetration obviously is lower. But this doesn't mean that it won't grow in the future. It will do. It will do. And the significant midterm potential for Stabilus is huge. And even you have more tailwinds. This is true that it's a bit more futuristic, we can say in that way, but for instance, these BEV pickup trucks in North America could open up an opportunity of 70 to 100 euro revenue opportunity for Stabilus, because here we see the frunk, that is the front trunk, that as you mentioned, with all this electric revolution, we are seeing also some changes in the places that where we are going to do as warehouse in our car, and this is one of them. Another is the premium, as I mentioned before. This penetration of Powerise should be with the hand of this premiumization trend that we are seeing. And another one that for me is so interesting that I encourage you to see a video in YouTube is Mercedes EQS. There are several other cars that they are also doing it, but Mercedes has a very nice video that it's about door actuators. These door actuators are becoming very important in autonomous vehicles and in all shared mobility trend. But as an option, this Mercedes EQS has an automatic comfort doors at the front and the rear. So when the driver approaches to the car, first of all, the door handles extends. And afterwards, as he or she approaches further, the driver's door opens automatically. So that's very, very nice. Even when you are inside of a car, for instance, and you are with boxes or you are with your suitcase, you are not able to move, just with a movement, the door can open and afterwards it can close. I mean, this means very futuristic. It's true that it's only in some premium cars, but as we saw before in the last years, all these premium things usually go to the other cars as the year passes. So we talk about auto, and here we're able to highlight this not only about global car production, that is very important, obviously, and where Stabilus outperforms, but it's about this counterfeit vehicle, it's about these new features, and it's about this powerized evolution or revolution. And once we talk about auto, let's talk about industrial. In industrial, we have thousands of products for millions of applications. You can take a look to your current chair where you are sit right now. Probably you can you can increase it or decrease it thanks to a gas spring. You can take a look, for instance, in your kitchen, in all the wardrobes also that you have. You can take a look outdoors. I mean, everywhere you have gas springs, because make your life easier. And normally this is just for €5. Because as I mentioned here, the average selling price is mid-single digit. And also it's important for Stabilus in this case, the distribution channel. Around 40% of the distribution channel is around intermediaries, normally the aftermarket and e-commerce, but the other 60% is direct. So here's where Stabilus has better margins because there are no intermediaries. I encourage you again to search in Google and put Stabilus, and you will find many, many places in the market, in the online, obviously, where you can find Stabilus products for a replacement in your car, for a replacement in your kitchen, wherever. So it's something that they are so present. And I encourage you also to take a look to your car and to count how many gas springs or power lights you have. You probably will say, well, they are much more than they were in the past, and this is a trend. So what I would like to do some kind of summary here with the numbers is that this is a very good company for an easy times, because first of all, this company grows, and that's important because it grows and we are paying, as we will see later, so low multiples for this growth, both mainly in powerized and industrial. Second, gas springs, as we see here, more or less maintain their revenue size, but they are necessary and you don't need to do much more investments. Most of the investments are done. So right now is a cash machine. And here we like to focus on reported EBIT. It's true that the difference between reported and adjusted is not so high. It's mainly related to PPA amortization, but we like to be as purist, we can say in that way, as possible. So here we have around 12% reported EBIT. They want to grow to 15% adjusted EBIT. That would be around 14% reported EBIT in our numbers. And the levers to reach that EBIT that they more or less approached in the past are first, volume; second, industrial growth; third, efficiency in costs. So all in all, you have a company with a very solid, very sound foundation. Stabilus has a strong balance sheet. And as I mentioned before, right now, their net financial debt versus EBITDA is around 0.6 times. And if we include leases, pensions, and minorities, it would be around one time. So it's so solid. Their target is to be around this one time. As I mentioned, this is key for the company, and their maximum level would be less than 2.5 times EBITDA, but I don't remember near times where they had this leverage. Second, in terms of capital allocation, first, they want to stick to the dividend policy that they communicated during the IPO, and they would like to IPO that was, I think, 2015, 2017, and they would like to pay around between 20 to 40% of group's net profit in dividend, and they would like to be stable and grow over the years. They also, in their capital allocation, mentioned that want to have at least 100 million euros on cash to be sure they can navigate through tricky times. And third, in terms of capital allocation, in case they have a sustained leverage below one time over a prolonged period of time, they'll strive to distribute those excess funds to the shareholders, whether it will be a share buyback or a special dividend. And third one, they have no anchor investor, but they have an aligned management. As I mentioned before, they went from private equity to private equity from 2000 to 2015, KKR, Pain Partners, Montagu, Airdian, many of them. So in March 2015, I think it was Triton decided to sell 20% of Stabilus share, and they increased the free float again and again and again to approximately 99%. That is right now their main shareholder are NN Group, the Dutch insurance company, more than 10%. You have Marathon Asset Management, I think with 6% more or less. So it's true they don't have any powerful shareholder, but they have an aligned management. Both CEO and CFO and other members are buying shares of the company. And what is more interesting for us is that they are buying right now, during this year, when the company price, share price dropped, I don't know, 30% more or less. So this is very important for us, because when we talk to companies, many of the management sometimes say to us, no, we don't have enough windows to buy shares, it's very complicated. But what we find when we meet with managers like the Stabilus ones is that there are always windows. The only thing that you need to take advantage of these windows is first cash, obviously, to invest, and second, willingness to invest in the company you run. So they are doing it, and for us this is very important, and this is very important as well as is another key thing and probably the key pillar of our investment philosophy, the valuation. Currently Stabilus is so cheap. The EV/EBITDA is 6 times, free cash flow yield is more than 10%. It could sound no excessive for a cyclical company, but I would like to remind you that we are talking about a company that is able to grow for us more than 4-5% per year organically. They are aiming to even grow 8% per year. They would like to double the size in 2030. They're able to do an EBIT margin of more than 12% reported year over year. So we are not talking about a cyclical company that they make very low margins, that they need so much volume. No, we are talking about a high quality company. And this is shown in their growth. This is shown on their return on capital. This is shown in their margins, and we can buy it at very attractive multiples. To pay EBITDA of 6 times for the company, or free cash flow yield above 10% for us is no sense. For instance, the current price is around this 47 euros per share. Of our pessimistic scenario would be a deep recession scenario where we see a drop in sales, we see a compression in margins, all in all. And in this pessimistic scenario, we could talk about a 40 euros per share, more or less 43 euros per share target price. But our base scenario, where we feel pretty comfortable going concern, is where we find sales that would be around this 1 billion euros, 1.1 billion euros that probably they are going to reach this year. A bit more of margin, thanks to this efficiency, thanks to more cars coming in the place once the supply chain issues are solved in the auto part. With this, we could have an EBITDA of 215 million euros, more or less. That would be a free cash flow to firm more or less of 136 million euros, 136. So here you can apply the multiple that you want, but we find that this is very, very cheap because they don't have almost anything of that. And if you compare this free cash flow to firm with the current EV that probably is around 1.3 billion euros, more or less, we find very attractive because it's nothing very special. I mean, we are not going to wait until 2030 to get it. No, we are going to wait probably to this year or the coming year to get those numbers, because in general, they are so clean. They don't have many, many strange things, many extraordinary. So is what it is. If we assume the 2030 targets, probably we would talk about to multiply by three or by four the current price. We don't know. We wish they will reach it, but obviously we are not going to assume that scenario in our numbers. And the third scenario would be an optimistic, cautious optimistic. That would be a full light vehicle production recovery and a growth scenario, probably this 7-8% for the coming years growth, and it would mean to get this 100% of upside. So all in all, as you can see, this is a very, very cheap company, and we find this is a hidden jewel in the market. First, because it's not covered from many, many brokers. It's true that it's covered by several of them. Second, this is a product that we are able to know very well because it's in our day by day, and they are focused on that. And this makes, and this is our final remarks, a very interesting company, because it's right now in an uncool industry, auto and industrial. If you are thinking about a recession or whatever, nobody is going to touch them. But because of that, they are close to, I don't know, 40% from the highs, 30% this year. They are a market leader, absolute market leader, no change. They focus on what they do. They are a low cost critic product, so it's not easy for the customers to change, especially in the auto segment. You are not going to change, and as I mentioned before, to save 30 cents and doesn't make sense. You have many growth opportunities. That probably is one of the things that most of the people don't like about the auto companies, or even industrial, that at the end of the day grow GDP plus 1% or something like that. Now, Stabilus is much more than that because they are on this secular trend. At the end of the day, we are talking about a niche. I mean, they do 1 billion euros, and I don't know, but the total market could be, I don't know, 4, 5 billion euros, a bit more. It's not huge if we take a look to the big or suppliers like Magna, Valeo, Faurecia, or whatever. So this is a niche. Their niche is growing. They are able to gain market share. They are able to complete their product portfolio. They are able to put in place PowerEyes and more industrial effort. So they have this growth opportunity. Even the big numbers law applies as well. They have a strong balance sheet. No more comments. Less than one time net debt. EBITDA, it's a very nice figure to see. And most important thing, it's very, very cheap. I mean, 6 times EBITDA, 1 time sales. I mean, it's no sense for this company with these margins, with these returns, with this balance sheet, and with this management. And just a last few comments. And as you know me very well, John, always I like to recommend you a book, a series, and a phrase. The series is the same, I think, most always. Band of Brothers. I love this series. It talks about the unity of the people. It talks about the strength. It talks about the effort. So I think this is very important in investing. The book I changed, I think last year, was called Steel, that talk about the foundation of ArcelorMittal, the merger. I love basketball, so I read about Phil Jackson, 11 rings. I loved the way this guy managed the different teams. I would like to remind you that he trained Michael Jordan, he trained Kobe Bryant, he trained Pau Gasol. I mean, probably some of the biggest players in the world, and he was able to win with all of them. He delivered a book to each of their players in order to read about the things that he felt probably could complete their personality. He is a different guy. He's a different guy. I love different guys. And in this case, he wins many, many tournaments. And I love the way their players played for him. And a last phrase that for me is very important, even more in these days, that you must survive on the darkest days. So right now, it's a moment to survive. It's a moment to keep the head in its place, that you have to be a bit cold and to choose the right investments, probably to see your portfolio, I don't know, 10, 30, depends on the portfolio. Down is not easy. We are very lucky because our European portfolio is almost flat this year, but we are lucky because we work very hard in the past in order to choose this kind of investments, and that right now the market is valuing them on the right size. And another, on the right way, another phrase that I would like to highlight as well is one from JP Morgan, from the founder, that he said that on the bear markets, stocks return to their rightful owners. So it's time to look at the market and to see all those companies that sometime we like it to have, and that right now are down. And if we understand why they are down, this is temporary, this is not structural, they are not very, very damaged, to take a look and to analyze them. Because obviously here in this scenario of potential recession or whatever is when best the opportunities usually come up. So thank you very much and open to your questions, Jan.
Thank you so much, Santiago, for another great presentation. So maybe just in terms of risks here, what do you think is the biggest long-term in your mind? You know, what could really derail the business here over, let's say, the next decade?
Yeah, I think probably the first one, if we talk about auto, would be that this global light vehicle production doesn't recover and even goes down. Obviously, they are a supplier, so if you produce less cars, it hurts you, even if your content per vehicle goes up. Second would be that powerized penetration slows. That would mean that people would like to buy cars probably cheaper, where the powerized is less present, or for instance, if you build a plant like the Pingu plant and the customers don't follow you, it's not the case right now, but it would happen. All these things, as you can imagine, is talking about a cyclical, very deep downturn. So here would be the main risk, and other risks that obviously we are living right now is this high cost inflation is not impact very much in the industrial side. It's true in the auto, they are having a bit more problems, but thanks to their increased content per vehicle, thanks to more volume, they are able to offset a bit. Some structural changes in the market. Imagine that some of these competitors consolidate the market and you are out, or for instance, if some product come up and you are not able to take the helm as the leader, and probably there you can lose it. So for one side, we have these external things, as I mentioned, more related to market, more related to macro. And on the other part, we can talk to internal things that would be an insufficient R&D that hit you back in the market structure. This high cost inflation that is true would affect all, but obviously you as well. And it's true that I think, as I remember from June 2022, is a new CFO in town in Stabilus. Normally, this is not a problem for Stabilus, because it's not any kitchen sinking is needed, because they have strong commitments. Their midterm targets is for 2030, so it doesn't make sense, I think, to change. Even we don't assume those targets, so it's not a problem for us neither, but obviously it's something that we have to keep in our mind and to check from time to time.
You mentioned that the company has been owned by private equity in the past. Do you see that as a possibility in the future, that there might be a take private transaction here at some point?
Yeah, this is probably one of the biggest risks, biggest opportunities for us. Obviously, when we invest in a company, our end obviously is not to end in the hands of a private company that buys us. Obviously, if they pay a lot of money, we are fine. When we ask this question to the company, they usually say that they don't see any synergy of being into a bigger auto supplier group. So they, in some way, discard the possibility that a big auto supplier, I don't know, Magna, Faurecia, Valeo, or wherever, take over to them. It's true that could come another private equity and make the usual path, that is to take the company private, to leverage, to sell more and more, to cut many costs. But in this company, it's true that you have room for leverage, but probably you don't have many room for efficiency. You have a bit, but they are so efficient because, as you remember, they were in hands of private equity, I don't know, 7 years ago. So the company has evolved, but it hasn't changed a lot. So you don't have many inefficiencies. Most of your leverage will come from more volume, from more content per vehicle, and from a bit more pricing. They have a very stable ownership. Most of them, and Group, Marathon, and all of them purchased their shares in the IPO at 21.5 euros per share. They are making money right now, but not as much as they made several months ago. So it's true that this is a risk. This is an opportunity as well. If the private equity pays so much money from the industrial side, we don't see that risk. But it's true that with all the cash that this private equity has in their hands, it would happen. We hope the company is able to develop. We hope they will be able to deliver the results, and probably we will, in case of a takeover offer, we will reach a higher price.
A little bit related to that, you mentioned the low level of net debt here, less than 1x EBITDA. It sounds like this is a business that could carry more debt. Do you see the company making acquisitions, perhaps, or you know, kind of optimizing the financial structure going forward?
That's very interesting, Jun. I think first of all, on the side of gas springs, mainly in the auto part, is very complicated because they have this huge market share, and antitrust probably won't allow that kind of transaction. So it's not much room because of their strong market share there. What they are doing is to complete their product portfolio. On the other hand, in powerized, but mainly in industrial, you have so much room to grow, because it's very fragmented, because you have this 20 to 30% market share more or less. So when we talk to them, we agree with them when they take a look to their wish list of M&A, They always talk to us about industrial. They talk about also about APAC, where they would like to grow, as they did recently China, because it's another engine that is going to be very important in the future, because it's where most of the growth is right now. So yeah, in the industrial side, they could do some M&A. Normally, they do bolt-on acquisitions. They don't do very, very strange things, what we feel pretty comfortable, but always in with a maximum leverage of 2.5 times. That is a bit challenging if they reach that number. But as far as we see, they feel pretty comfortable with this one time. They don't see any kind of M&A on the pipeline right now. But obviously, if any important opportunity or interesting opportunity is on the industrial side, they will take advantage of that and of their financial, solid financial structure. And probably we could see some kind of money.
What would be the key data points to keep an eye on going forward to gauge how the thesis is playing out?
Yeah, I think, as happens in other companies, the market sometimes follows things that are, how to say, important for the stock price, but not as important for the fundamentals. I explain. In the case of Stabilus, global light vehicle production is very important. It's true. It's very important, but it's much more important for the stock market than for Stabilus. So if you want to follow the stock price and you would take a look to the global light vehicle production, you should take a look to other auto parts, you should take a look if they are able to pass through these cost increases to the OEMs, that this is very complicated for some of them. You should take a look to that if you want to follow or to check in terms of a stock price performance. But if you want to take a look to the improvement of the fundamentals, that I think that at the end of the day is the most important thing for all of us that are present here in MOI Global, obviously, you should take a look to the global light vehicle production, but you should take a look as well to the powerized penetration. You should take a look to the SUV trend that keeps strong. You should take a look to China, to the recovery of the car sales, and also of the entry of Stabilus in the Chinese OEMs. They are doing it. You should take a look to the car you buy, if they have more powerized or more gas springs than in the past, because with a 90% of probability, they are from Stabilus. If you are based in North America or in Europe, you should take a look to the financial structure and to the management. It's very important. You don't have any powerful shareholders, so you need a very good management. So on the one side, what you have to take a look from the stock price performance, and on the other side, what we took a look or we take a look from the valuation, the fundamental perspective.
Okay, wonderful. I will leave it there. Would just encourage MOI Global members to reach out with any further thoughts or questions. As always, Santiago, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us and present this investment thesis to the MOI Global community.
Thank you very much, John. It's a pleasure.
Goodbye for now.
Bye.